This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future. WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Patrick Smith, in for Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Drive down Lake near Ogden in Chicago's West Loop, and you'll see a turreted four-story Queen Anne-style building by the train tracks. It used to house La Luce Italian Restaurant, and it might just be one of the city's last pre-prohibition saloons. It's been saved from demolition twice, and in 2021, City Council voted unanimously to make it a landmark. But since then, it's fallen into disrepair. The city recently wrote the building was, quote, rapidly becoming dangerous, end quote, and the owners are due in court over a foreclosure suit. So what's the real story of this building? And is it still a preservation win if it's become an eyesore that's potentially dangerous to folks passing by? I sat down with Reset's architecture sleuth, Dennis Rodkin, to answer these questions. He starts with how this pre-prohibition saloon was also known as a tide house.
They're scattered around the city, and many of them have been landmarked. A tide house, prior to prohibition, a brewer might have its own bar. You would only buy Schlitz. You would only drink Schlitz in a Schlitz tide house. This very likely was one, though there has been some dispute about whether it was. And that's because this building was built in 1892. And it's only from 1893 that Schlitz was putting a big globe on the outside of its tide houses with its logo in it. But at one point during the demolition issues we're going to talk about, it was discovered that there's the Schlitz logo is painted. It's a ghost sign on the side of the building. So that may be how they were marking their tide houses before they were putting a big globe on the outside.
So before we get into that demolition history, what first stands out to you when you see this building?
I think the primary thing that stands out is the turret. So one thing to keep in mind is this is not at a 90-degree corner. It's at a corner where one street angles. So you have a building that kind of disappears more like a V. And right on the corner of the peak of that V, there's a turret, a beautiful, formerly beautiful turret capped with copper. And like the corner turret at a lot of 19th century buildings in Chicago, it doesn't come all the way to the ground. It's supported by a pillar, and that's where you walk in to the door. It's a classic Chicago look, but this one is nicer than many because of the copper. Not only that top of the turret I mentioned, but there's a mansard roof in turret all the way around. And then there's this very broad window bay that goes down a couple of stories from the roof that also was or is wrapped in copper. And so it's just it's a beautiful Queen Anne building from the 1890s.
You said it was beautiful. I mean, is this state of disrepair, is it not as beautiful as how it once stood?
You know, it's really actually pretty sad to stand there and take a look at this building, because that's why I said there was copper. A lot of that copper is gone now, just in the last few years. And you see the wood behind it, the wood that would have been behind it. The wood looks very soggy because it hasn't been protected from rain. There was a construction wrap wrapped around that bay, but it hasn't been taken care for. So it's fringe. It's all sort of worn out and just kind of flapping there. You can see the mansard roof. There are places that are coming away. And again, where that turret, where I said, you know, you're used to walking into a commercial a store under the turret. If you look up, you can see that the wood at the bottom of that turret is right about to collapse on your head.
Well, and that's part of the danger. Let's hope that doesn't happen. So let's talk about the building in its former glory. I mean, what did you find out about the origins and the history of this building? I know, as I mentioned, it used to house an old Italian restaurant.
There's not a whole lot of information. There is a lot of speculation about how it was used, but at that time, 1892, the West Side would have been working class and middle class people. Eventually, it becomes more of a factory district, like most of the West Loop and River North. It's right by the L tracks, so many people say that it was built to get people down to the World's Fair. I can't find any confirmation of that, but it's from that era when we're getting around primarily on foot or by public transit, and it's a four-story building with, again, commercial on the first floor, like I've been describing, and then apartments up above where probably workers in some of the neighborhood factories would have lived. Don't know much between the 1890s and the 1980s, when it's in pretty bad shape, and the family, the Moretti family, who are going to open La Luce in it, buy it, and they rehab it. And years after they rehabbed it, they said that at the time they bought it, so this is before the West Loop was the cool place it is now, the booming place it is now. And there was really a lot of decline in the area, and this building, they said, was among the worst. They said that there were, you know, there was prostitution and drugs and everything all around the building. It was in terrible shape. They did a massive renovation. That's the late 1980s. They opened the restaurant, and then it's kind of like the West Loop sort of follows them. It becomes very popular when the Blackhawks are doing really well in the 21st century because it's pretty close to the United Center, not right next door, but nearby. There is a legend that I can't confirm that Michael Jordan might have had his office in the building at one point. Again, because there wasn't, this is before so much was happening in the West Loop, Fulton Market, all around in there. So they developed this restaurant. It operates from the late 1980s until 2016. And as I said, the West Loop and Fulton Market sort of catch up to it.
Yeah, well, you're talking about the fact that the West Loop is the hip spot now. So what happened? Why has this building fallen into such disrepair?
It's very hard to understand, in part because the current owners would not return my calls, would not respond. They said they would send
always
me a statement.
Always a good sign.
A good sign when they won't talk. So what happened was there's an awful lot of construction all around there. There are high-rises, mid-rises, the office buildings, apartment buildings, all in that neighborhood. This, I think, looked like a good site to build something when La Luce closed. It's not clear when the family sold the building. They may have been involved in one of the proposals to build, but then they sell it in 2020 for $1.75 million in mid-2020. And right after that, the buyers, an LLC legal liability company called Veritas, applies for a demolition permit. There's a huge uproar among landmarks people, preservation people, because why would you take this down? Of course, again, there are high rises going up all around, and here's this little shrimpy building below, but it's beautiful. So how can this be torn down? So it turns out that there's an error that has happened at City Hall because the application for the permit didn't have the full address of the building on it. Nobody knew what the building actually was. A demolition permit was issued. So there's a 2-day period in 2020 when that building might have been torn down between the time the permit was issued accidentally and the time people caught it. It just happens that it wasn't torn down in those 2 days. And then the demolition permit is yanked. And then there's a fight by Preservation Chicago, all sorts of other organizations trying to keep this building standing. City Landmarks, it says, you can't tear it down. That's in early 2021. That's June 2021. And since then, the owners have done nothing with it. So that's how it gets to the point that it is. They were planning to tear it down, can't tear it down, and have essentially done zero with it in the 3 years since they were told you got to leave it standing.
And now the owners are facing foreclosure, is that right?
Yeah. In January, the city law department issued a foreclosure notice. I have the notifications that have been sent, the documents from the city law department, and there's a long list of violations. The city is asking either that that there be an injunction against the owners, or that the judge declare the building an abandoned building and give it to the city so the city can do something. But among the violations I described, you know, this Copper Bay is ruined, and there's also ruined is the construction wrap that was put in its place. But according to the law department, there also is probably water leaking in below that mansard roof, that copper roof, and ruining the brick below, inside and out. And then the turret looks like it's going to, as I said, it's going to fall down any minute. So the city considers it dangerous. And in June, almost exactly 3 years after the building was declared a landmark, the owner and the city are due in court.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Dennis, you talked about the fight to preserve this building, a successful fight. In 2021, the city council, as you said, named this a landmark building. What is it specifically? Is it the look of it that you were describing? Is it that history that you were talking about? What made this worthy of landmark status?
Well, I think both of those. I think it's also the fact that it has resisted that march of the West Loop, or it had to that point resisted the march of the West Loop. These high rises have sprouted all around, and it has, and it's also, I have to be really clear about this. It's like a lot of commercial buildings built in Chicago neighborhoods in the 1890s, but it's even nicer because of that extra copper wrap. And I think one of the reasons people want to see it stay is not only that it's evocative of that neighborhood in the 1890s, but that it's one of the last bits of that neighborhood that has not been taken down and replaced with high rises, mid-rises, I should say.
But now it's in dangerous disrepair. I mean, is this a preservation win, considering the state of the building now?
You know, at this moment, I think it would be very hard to say that it is a win. Certainly, you know, the last chapter hasn't been written. Maybe the city gets a hold of the building and rehabs it or sells it to somebody who will. But at the moment, the way it looks, I mean, so you asked me, why was it saved? Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody who walked to the building today and looked at it would say, oh, we need to save this. I think they would say, we need to get rid of this before it falls down on me. That's a real dilemma because it was saved for very good reasons. But now it's in what people often called demolition by decay mode, where because it's been left to sit for 3 years, and we don't know how much longer it will sit because we don't know how long it takes the city to go through this legal process, it might essentially demolish itself.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you. Are we going to lose this building just to neglect?
Well, fingers crossed that we don't. The city is on this case, right? The city filed the foreclosure in January, is taking them to court in June. I don't think the city wants to see this fall, either literally or figuratively.
Right. Well, nobody wants to see it fall.
Nobody wants to see it fall, right? I think the city wants to see it saved, but, you know, there are a whole lot of other things going on in the city right now. And developers always talk about the highest and best use of a piece of land is saving a little small building on that corner, the highest and best use, when there are a lot of people who want apartments and condos in the West Loop, and there aren't enough in all the buildings that have already been built. It's a very difficult question.
So get on your prognosticator hat. You know, we talked about one of the worst outcomes, which would be this falling on its own or possible demolition. What do you think is next for this building?
Well, like I said, I don't think the city wants to lose that building. Neither do preservationists. I would expect that given all the support that the building garnered in 2020, 2021, when the last demolition question came along, I think when people find out that this situation is going on now, this foreclosure, which hasn't been reported except here today, I think people would probably rally behind it and we'd see it saved, but it's expensive. And one of the things you have to think about is those owners did pay $1.75 million for the site, whether the site with the building or without. And do you need to make compensation to them? What does it cost to bring the building all the way back? I'd love to see it become housing. We certainly have a dramatic shortage of housing in this city. the question is, can that be accomplished in a cost-effective way?
That's Dennis Rodkin, real estate reporter for Crane Chicago Business and our architecture sleuth. Thanks, Dennis.
Thanks, Patrick.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited by Meha Ahmad, and mixed by Brenda Ruiz. Don't forget to check out our podcast for the latest in local and statewide news you need to know about. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again tomorrow.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.